verse 5 of chapter 1 in the Gospel Luke. Luke chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 5. And for the sake of time, we might jump into several verses. Amen. But you and I are encouraged to read the entirety of that chapter. Amen. Let me know if you're there. Luke 1, verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. Verse 7, I want you to take note. The preceding verses talks about these two people, and the Bible tells us that godly people. But the next verse tells us, it starts with the word but, because they find themselves in a condition that is, they are in want. And can I just say this at the onset? Some of you might have questions in your minds today when you went right through that door. You know, I'm continuing to honor God, but I find myself in situations that are difficult. Can I tell you that you are not alone? When you and I find ourselves in difficult circumstances, with what God has done in the lives of this couple, God will also do for you. Because He is a faithful God. Even if you are continually honoring God, serving God, like this couple, know that God knows your circumstances and God will never fail you. For the heart that believes, you will see the miracle of God. Believe that. Amen. So, but they had no children, so that was their condition. They had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood. And that verse tells us that God was already in control of what was to happen that day. There's no such thing as accident in the lives of God's people. Amen. So he was chosen to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, Zechariah, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. Fear is in the hearts of many, but today God is telling all of us, do not be afraid. Whatever is going on, do not be afraid. That's always the message of God. Never allow fear to creep in our hearts. Verse 13, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Hallelujah. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Verse 16, many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asks the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Father God, we thank you for the word of God. Jesus, we acknowledge that you are the living word of God and you have the words of life. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here to teach us and to guide us, to grant us understanding, Lord God, from the word. Important principles from the word that when we receive it in our hearts, you're going to grant us, as we ask, the grace to live by them, the principles and the truth that come from the word, because your word is true, and once you say it, you will fulfill it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Praise God. You know, for most of us, for many of us who are reading the Bible, it points to us how the Word of God is filled with many stories. How God showed up in the lives of people in unexpected ways. How God would manifest His presence in the lives of people. And how He would show up, and then even at times wherein people did not expect the timing. On this first Sunday of December, like what I've said, people are doing a countdown before Christmas Day. And so why are people so, into the preparation of Christmas Day? And always the best starting point for us, more so for us, people of God, as Christians, always the best starting point is the Word of God, because it tells us what Christmas Day is all about. Most of us, we come from the Philippines, and back home in the Philippines, we have what we call traditions. We have Noche Buena. Some families would come together on Christmas Eve. People would come together. Families would come together preparing a sumptuous meal. Amen. And so there's nothing wrong with traditions, but I think when you and I were praying to the Lord earlier, God, I want to experience you in a very powerful way. And when you and I have that kind of attitude, always having that sense of expectation of what God would do every time you and I would come together. Because, can we say this? Because, when we read this portion, I'm so blessed. When you and I are reading the historical background and Luke, the gospel writer of what we read, of all people, he was chosen and inspired by the Spirit of God to write this account in the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And even down the line, we're going to find out how there was one young lady who was chosen to be God's vehicle for the Son of God to be born. And of all people, that, the details of this miracle was given to Luke, who is, by occupation, is a doctor. He's a doctor. And so when you and I read that portion, we were introduced to one person, and his name was Zechariah. Zechariah was told before anyone else, that God was setting in motion his own plan to visit earth. Wow. Can you imagine if you being chosen by God and to be told that, you know what, Zechariah, the promise in it, and it's a much awaited event in the lives of the nation of Israel, because they are waiting for a Messiah, because in their mind the Messiah would deliver them from the oppression from the Roman Empire. What's amazing is how when God would choose the time when he would act, it's always up to his own choosing and not ours. And that tells us about God's sovereignty. And the more you and I know about that nature and character of God as far as his sovereignty, meaning to say, he knows better than we do. when we say that he is sovereign, he is in control. He's in control. No matter what's happening right there at that time, the people were, they had this longing. Have you ever experienced that feeling of you're longing for something good to happen? We all have that. And I think that's built in us because God would want us to be a people of expectation, to expect the move of God. Amen. The coming to church will never be the same when you and I come always with that sense of God. You perform miracles then. And you said in your word that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That God, if you perform miracles then, Lord, when I read all of these accounts, God, you are showing that you are the God of power, and not just the God of power, but the God who is mindful of my life. What's amazing about our Lord is he is not the, you know, how would I say it? He's not a generic God. Meaning to say, I'm going to perform a miracle today. And he would say, okay, I'm going to, boom, and with no magic wand, it's like, okay, people, he wouldn't even call you people. He will call you by name. Because you know why? He's a personal God. He's a personal God. And the moment when that time came for Zechariah, here was a man married, and they're old. And for sure, you know, for a married couple, they have this longing to have, you know, a child. But that was missing in their lives. And I believe because he was a man of faith that he was praying to God. Both of them were praying to God for a child. And you know how when you and I pray to God, we have to remember that God has a time in all things, right? But because now that we are living in this high, you know, fast-paced world, we want everything in an instant. Have you seen the commercial of, is it AT&T? He said three things. You know, in that commercial, they said, there are three things that we need in life. Water, food, and the internet. I've heard some parents, you know, my children, they're getting upset, you know. That's a mild way of saying when, because there's no internet at home, or the internet is slow. We want to do things quickly, fast. So at times, because we live in this kind of society, that we apply that type of attitude even in our prayer life, that once we pray to God, we want, Lord, I want it right away. Lord, develop in me the virtue of patience, and I need it now. And I need it now. And so, but, you know, jokingly aside, we can't imagine at times how when people in their good intentions and they let God know of what they're going through in life, God, Lord, I need your grace. God, see me through, God. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. God, I'm going through all of this. God, I need you to show up. God, I need you to show up because, Lord, I'm hanging by the nails, by the thread. And do you know what? At the onset, let me tell you that when God promises something, he always fulfills. And he delivers, and he is never late. He's never late. His timing is always perfect. He makes all things beautiful in his time. You know how in the book of Ecclesiastes, it talks about that time principle. There's a time to be born and there's a time to die. There's that portion. I remember there was this sister in Christ, and she told us of her story when she was about to give birth to their second child. And she was rushed to the hospital, And, you know, of course, I don't know what it means to be in labor. But what she said was, the account was, as soon as she got there, I need to be in a place, in a room. And then the nurse told her, ma'am, please hold it. No, I can't hold it anymore. And the baby just popped. You know, it might be a funny story, but one thing we know is when you and I would relate that to the Word of God, the time for that child to be born is assigned by God. So not even the doctor can say, hold it, not yet. But God said, it's time for that baby to be born, and the little boy was born. And if God has an appointed time for birth, God has also an appointed time even for the birth of a miracle in your life and mine. The miracle starts with the Word of God. And our hearts, they are like a spiritual womb. We receive that seed, the Word of God, and it's planted in that spiritual womb. And like a baby, like that baby, you know, God in His knowledge, how that baby is formed inside the womb and has appointed 9 months for the baby to fully develop. And we know the challenges of a baby born prematurely. We have a sister in Christ. She's a nurse and she works for the, you know, NICU, you call that, intensive care for babies born with challenges when they're born. But 9 months for a baby to be developed. Now, in God's wisdom, how can you imagine it starts with a seed? When the seed from the dad and the mom joins, and how from that seed, there's life growing and evolving. How even, can you imagine how when the baby's formed, even the bones formed is coming from the seed? Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. And so we use that as an illustration because God, in His knowledge and wisdom, when God created us in our mother's womb, is also doing something miraculous in our hearts when you and I would receive the Word of God. And so this couple, they are godly, and yet they find themselves in need. You know, one of the more very common questions among people is, why does God allow pain and suffering even in the lives of people who are good? And that's why it's good for us always to turn to the Word of God, because even in the midst of pain and trials, God has a purpose in all of that. And when you and I would just yield to what the Spirit of God is teaching us, you know what? Then you and I would leave not with bitterness or resentment towards God or be angry towards God, but instead, God, have your way in my life, whatever it is that you are developing, God, just grant me grace. See me through this painful time in my life, because I know that, God, you can work this out for good. Amen. Where do we find that? In the Word of God. And see, that's why it's important for us to know what God is saying to us. Does God speak yet? Yes. If you are still doubting whether God is speaking now, know that God is still the same. A promise from the Word. There's so many promises from God's Word that serves like a seed that when you and I receive it in our hearts as a spiritual womb, then there would be a time for that miracle to be birthed. And let us continue to believe in God. Now, in their lives, so there was an angel that showed up at that time when Zechariah was chosen to serve in the temple. No accidents, because God said, okay, He sent Gabriel. You know, when you and I would revisit this story, it's amazing how, you know, the angels, they were kind of, you know, they had like overtime sila. Because God was already in motion. He was already setting in motion that much awaited event, and that is the birth of the Messiah. And a lot of people miss that time because in their minds, like what we have said before, people would have like preconceived notions on how God would manifest the answer. How many of you have experienced that? Yeah. I have many times in my life. And then God, when he worked out all of my challenges, even this past year with my health, it's like, wow, Lord, you did not fail me once again. Amen. He exceeded my expectations as far as how he would pull me through out of that bind, out of those many, many challenges. Because you know what? God is faithful.
Amen.
God is mindful of you and me. Amen. And so, if you and I would want to have our prayers answered, you and I must be open to what God can do in impossible situations. Let us be open to what God will do. What do we mean by being open? At times, you and I can be... when does disappointment come? Disappointment comes when you're expecting something to be done in a certain way, on a certain time, and it did not happen. What do you feel? Oh, disappointed. When those times come, the more you and I are encouraged and even challenged to take the next step. It might be difficult, but God, I don't understand all of this, but I choose to believe that, Lord, out of this impossible situation, God, you have the power to move. And I still put my trust in you that, God, you will do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. And the other thing was, the Bible tells us that what were the conditions of how impossible was the situation for them to have a child? Both of them were? So Elizabeth was barren and they were both old. Most of the times it's like, Lord, why did this happen now? I remember that time when I was diagnosed with tumors in my in parts of my body, and that it happened when I was out of job, no health insurance. And so, of course, the first natural tendency was, Lord, why? Bakit ngayon? Why now? You know that I don't have health insurance. And you know what the Lord impressed in my heart? Because I want you to learn how to put your trust in me and not in your company that you're working for, not in the health insurance. And you know what? The Lord proved that he was faithful. So no, when the Lord impressed that in my heart, I was already a young Christian then. So I attended our Friday prayer meeting. And so I approached the pastors, and then the Friday prayer group, they prayed for me. And so the doctor that told me that I would have surgery to find out whether the tumor was cancerous or not, when I went for a follow-up checkup, the tumors were gone. The tumors were gone. Hallelujah. And being out of job, oh my goodness. You know what? God has a purpose in everything. I was out of job, and it became an opportunity for me to be a part of a missionary trip. And in that trip, I learned so many things about God. That, you know what, it's even benefiting me up until now. Because that's how God works. He is not just for temporary fixes or just like temporary band-aid for our ills and problems. He goes deep. He goes deep, and then when he, like a surgeon, he takes out the part that probably is not good for us, and then healing starts to take place. There's always healing grace from the hand of God. Amen. And so when he does something, it will always have benefits that would last for all eternity. Amen. Change of character, do we need that?
Amen.
No. I guess.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And, you know, I know that when God is doing some change in us, at times it's painful to the Bible calls it the flesh. It can be our pride. I shared that with you one time as far as, you know, I don't mind helping out, but it's a different story when I'm on the other side of the fence, on the receiving end. And so, God told me, you know, kasi lagi na, ay, nahihiya ako. I don't like, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to ask help. And God used that to kind of prune me from my pride. And so he taught me how to receive help from others and receive it because I'm going to bless those people that are helping you. So he wants it like a full circle. Amen? Praise God. And so when you find yourselves in the receiving end, receive it. It's God's way of telling you, son, daughter, I have your back. And Lord, and God is saying also, the person that blessed you, I'm going to bless those people. Amen? And so let's be part of that. Part of that cycle, amen? When God strengthens your faith, it's for the purpose of, I know my Bible from Genesis to the maps. No, he strengthens our faith so that you and I can be a instrument or channel of blessing to those who are struggling in their walk with God. Amen. And so that's what the church is all about. That's what the people of God should be, being sensitive to the needs of the people around us. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, what was amazing was in the life of Zechariah, the Lord said, now is the time. Now, how did Zechariah receive the news? How did he receive the news? Wow, you know, being said that, oh, what was the message of the angel? Now, you will have a son. That was number one. And how your child will be a blessing to many. Wow, if you're a parent, wouldn't your heart be filled with joy knowing that God is going to use your children to be a blessing to others? God would use your children to turn the hearts of people who are, you know, in darkness and then be used by God to win people for Jesus. Isn't that good news? Yes, what else? Look at this. He says, they will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That was the first time that Jesus was about to be born. But do you know that God is preparing a people now? Not for his first coming, but his what? His second coming. Jesus is coming back for the second time. Hallelujah. And in our times, God is preparing all of us. He is preparing all of us. And our prayer is that we will not miss that event. Now, how did Zechariah receive the news? He received it with what? He doubted. His question was in verse 18, I'm an old man. Napatingin siya sa what? Natural circumstances. Lord, how can I be sure of this? It's like, you know, some people would say, you know, give me first proof. To see is to believe. No? Yeah, ganun tayo, no? Lord, if you do this for me, I'm going to serve you all the days of my life, God. Yeah, we make like a bargaining. We give God a condition at times. How can I be sure of this? What God is teaching us is when God says something, no matter how impossible it is to our natural condition, will God do it? Of course, yes. Of course, yes. And I'm saying that with all of this oomph because, you know what? God would always prove to us that he is faithful and true. That's a beautiful name of our Lord Jesus. He is faithful, capital F and capital T. Faithful and true. A person who is faithful would be there for you all the time. Not just in good times, but even in. More so in bad times. We, you know, we have this phrase, fair weather friends. What are those people? They'll just be with you when times are good. Brother Roel, good times. But there would be faithful people that God would send you, would send our way, who will be there beside you, alongside of you. Amen. And people can be also God's channels of blessings. And I never get tired of saying this. The blessings of God can never only be measured by money, material things, possessions. Blessings can also come through people. How God would surround us with people who would pray, not just pray for us, but be a loving support to whatever you and I are going through. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so that's what the family of God should be now. And so Zechariah, you know, he was doubting how it would happen. And so what happened was he was unable to speak. But what we would want to really emphasize here was when the angel said, because you did not believe the words that came from God, I'm just a messenger. See, angels are just messengers. Can we say this? They are not meant to be worshipped. They never to be put on a pedestal, but they are just messengers. Amen. Praise God. And so it says they will come true at their proper time. So God has an appointed and proper time for everything. And so when you and I, when our hearts now begin to rest in that promise that God, you know better, God. Lord, I'm sorry, you know that I'm impatient, God. You know, I have a tendency, God, because I need to see At times we say that, Lord, I need to see the results that what I'm doing. I'm praying to you, God. Lord, it has been weeks have passed, months, years. Lord, decades, God, some decades. But you know what? God is still working it out because he knows the best time and the proper time when the miracle is to be released. Amen. And so the other thing is the power of God is never confined or bound by human limitations. Let me say that again. It's a very important principle from the Word of God. The power of God is never limited or confined by human limitations. At times when, let's say, God spoke to you and God would tell you, son, daughter, I'm going to use you. And, you know, most of the time, Lord, are you talking to me? Lord, me? And look at this. Look at the surrounding circumstances. Even with the birth of the child given to Zechariah and Elizabeth, and even to the coming of our Lord Jesus as the Messiah. How did they come as God's powerful instrument? Babies. Lord, what are you telling us? A baby? When Jesus was born, when they said, oh, the Messiah was born, and they, where's the Messiah? In Bethlehem, of all places? And then found in a manger? And then they found a baby. When you would say Messiah in the minds of people, you know what? We thought that the Messiah would be a conquering king, but come on, baby. Probably in the minds of others, Houston, we have a problem. Because how can a what's a baby? A baby is what? Helpless, dependent, powerless. Because in God's plan of salvation, that baby is to grow up. And on his 30th year, then he started his ministry. Jesus did not start to tell about people about the kingdom of God, not even when he was 18 years old or 20s, but when he was 30, meaning to say, God has always a time for everything. Amen. And Jesus had to go through that motion of growing up, because one powerful insight that you and I would get from that story is that Jesus, the Bible tells us, he became flesh and dwelt among us. We have a God who can relate. He's relatable. Now he's seated at the right hand of God. When you and I come to the Father in prayer, he would say, Father, I know what he or she's going through. Pain? He knows pain. He was crucified. Being in want, he was a son of a carpenter, not a son of a governor. Being found without a place, can we say he was homeless? In fact, he said, foxes have holes and birds have nests for them to stay. But the Son of Man, no place to stay. So he went all through the range of those circumstances so that when you and I come to him, he knows what you and I are going through. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. We have a God who would, when you would meet someone that can relate to what you're going through, don't you find comfort to know that you and I would confide, you know, what we're going through, and that person went through the same, exactly the same thing. And see, that's why the Bible tells us that we praise our Father God who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that when you and I receive the comfort from God, that you and I can also comfort others. That's the cycle again. When you and I would receive the comfort from God, God would use us so that you and I may comfort others. Amen. Now, praise the Lord. And so we have to know God's proper time in all of this. Now, one of the things that you and I would encounter from the Word of God is when that the prophetic nature of the Word of God, when we say prophetic nature, meaning to say it's a foretelling of what lies ahead of a future. And so meaning to say, what you and I can bring home after this study is when you and I would encounter promises. When you're reading the Word of God and God gives you a promise, do you keep it to your heart? You keep it to your heart and you pray about that prayer, just like a baby growing inside the mother's womb. You know, that word that you and I receive from God, we nurture it within us. How do we nurture that? You know, a mother who's expectant, that's why, you know, there's another word for a woman who has a baby inside, an expectant mother. What are you expectant of from God? What are you expecting from God today? And you know what? With the promises that you and I have received, and we allow that to grow inside us. Men, are you expectant? Where are the men here? Are you pregnant with God's word? Praise the Lord. You can also be pregnant with God's word. And there's a time more so, can I say this to the men? Do you know that God chose you? Your fathers, you are stewards. You have been chosen by God. And as your faith in God continues to be built up, no. Even if you're old already, and you would say, I already have great-grandchildren. Do you know that God, you're alive because God still has a purpose in your life? Amen. Hallelujah. God can still use you even in your old age. Yes. Even if you're in your prime. I called it, let's change the old age to prime. Even in our prime, God can use us. And so as you and I continue this, because it's going to be a series for this month of December, when you and I would be encouraged from the word of God, we receive God's word and we nurture it like a mom who's expectant. You know, she perfectly understands I have to feed the baby inside me. So that mother is even particular with what they eat, enough rest and all that, right? And so The same thing for us. And you know what Satan would want to happen? Is for us to have a miscarriage. He's always, the purpose of Satan, who is the enemy of our soul, is always to abort God's miracle in your life. How can that happen? Yes, when let's be mindful of our words. Let us instead, you know, that's why it's important for us to nurture that seed in us. Lord, thank you for your word. We could say this in our prayer and praise him. Lord, you are a faithful God. You are faithful and true. Lord, your word tells me, you could do anyway. If you don't want to sing, it's okay. You just say, God, I thank you that you are the God who fulfills your promises. You are faithful to your word. You are the faithful and true God, Lord Jesus. One thing that your word tells me is one thing that you cannot do, and that is to lie. So, Lord, when you said it, you're going to fulfill it. When God says, I will supply for all of your needs according to God's riches and glory in Christ. Needs? What are your needs? Financial needs? How about emotional needs? Do we have emotional needs too? Oh, yes. All of us. We are emotional beings. God can give that too. Spiritual blessings? Oh, yes, more so. We need the strength that comes from God for us to continue in our walk with God. Life is a journey. Life is a journey. And we want to finish the race. Amen. We want to finish the race because there is a reward for those who finish the race. Amen. Praise God. And so continue to nurture the word of God in your heart and in your life. Amen. And so we find out from the... And I'm going to just read the portion and read it along with me, because the promise of God to Zechariah and Elizabeth happened. And so let's turn now to Luke 1. We're going to start with verse 57 all the way till the end. Please read it along with me because it's important. What builds up our faith is what? Not experiences, but what? The Word of God. The Word of God is able to build up our faith. Amen. Praise God. And so let us be focused on what the Lord is telling us through his Holy Spirit. Verse 57 of the same chapter, Luke 1. When it was time, did you see it? There we go again for the word time. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Was the promise fulfilled?
Yes.
Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John, because that's the message of God. So obedience is very important. They said to her, there's no one among your relatives who has that name. Do you know that at times that there's some people, kinda, they have good intentions that they can kind of, you know, just even the giving the name of the son, it's like they would kind of meddle. There would always be people that can be like, oh, no, don't do that. Do this. But when God tells you specific instructions, obey God. And you will see the powerful result of obeying the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. They said to her, there's no one among your relatives who has that name. So is that what? A tradition, no? At times, tradition can get in the way for us to experience God's power. Lord, I'm not used to that. But if God would choose to show up in a different way, let us be open to it. Amen. And so then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Verse 64, immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. That's one of the things that the Bible teaches us. We have to make use of our tongue wisely, and that is to give praise to God. So every time we come together, let's open our mouths and praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And so, praise the Lord. And so, verse 65, the neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Isn't it nice when God's miracle happens, people will hear about it. Oh, you know, this is what happened to them. And they would see that, wow, that's God. And that would start revival. Revival. And I believe God is encouraging us in our walk with Him. Stay true to what the Word of God. Stick to the Word of God. Hang on to the Word of God. Claim His promises. Declare His Word. Amen. Pray His Word. Amen. And when the miracle happens, people will hear about it. And people would say, Jesus truly is alive. He's God. He's Lord of all. Amen. Amen. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. Now, verse 67, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Do you know that when you and I are filled with the Spirit of God, that God is going to use you and me to speak words, prophesy? The purpose of prophesying is words that come from God that would build up others. Amen. Isn't that wonderful that when you and I are filled with the Spirit of God, that you and I would be a source of encouragement to others? Amen. And so look at this. 68. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel. So one result of being filled with the Spirit of God is what? We're always praising God. The fruit of our lips always giving thanks to His name. That's one indication of being filled with the Spirit of God. Because He has come and has redeemed His people, He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He said through His holy prophets of long ago. Did you notice that in verse 70? He recognized that the promise happened. It was fulfilled. It said, it was said through His holy prophets of long ago. So it was mentioned hundreds of years ago, and then it was fulfilled. Amen. Verse 71, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant. The oath He swore to our father Abraham to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. The significance of Christmas is the coming of Jesus as the Son of God, to be our Redeemer, to be our Savior. The best gift that anyone can receive on Christmas Day is the gift of salvation. Amen. The gift of salvation. I'm not saying giving gifts to our loved ones. They're not important. It's our way of expressing our love to our loved ones. But do you know that, you know, those are just temporary things. But the best gift, at times, you know, it becomes even a burden to others. No. But you know what? Even when you would look into your checking account, or some would say, I don't even have a checking account. Even when you find yourself in those circumstances, can I tell you? That's why the Word of God is reminding us that it's not about the how the world would just like commercialize Christmas, that even when you don't have the money and you would feel deprived. But when you and I have Christ, when you and I have Christ, He becomes our all in all. How you and I would have that kind of peace and joy that no material things can do. But the love of God. I'm not saying God is more than able to provide. Yes, He can provide. If you find yourself in need, financial dire straits, in need, God is able to provide. God is able. Amen. But what I think the Word of God would want us to remember is the best gift that you and I can have is Jesus.
Amen.
It's Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And look at this, because what does He do? When He comes, Jesus came to rescue us from Satan and to enable, look at this, verse 74, and to enable us to serve Him without fear. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. You and I have been called by God that we may serve Him without fear, and we may serve Him in holiness and righteousness before God. And the best thing that can happen to anyone is for us to be given the privilege to serve Jesus, who is the true living God. Amen. Let's pray. Before we take our communion, as we're not going to serve lunch this Sunday, but you know, a part of our spiritual discipline as a Christian is fasting is not just about giving up the meal. I think it's more of instead of us spending time eating physical food, we use that time to meditate on the Word of God. We use that time to come to the Lord in prayer. So feel free to stay even when, you know, after the final blessing and all. Feel free to stay here in the sanctuary, and if you would want to pray with someone or just even go back to these verses that we have read, because there's something about spending time with God that you and I can really be doubly blessed. Amen. So let's thank Him for His word for us this afternoon. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for Jesus, Your Son, that on that first Christmas night, when that announcement was made that the Messiah was born, Lord, it was a fulfillment of a promise that You have said many years ago. One powerful truth that You are reminding all of us that, Lord, You are true to Your word. When You promise something, You do it and You deliver it on time. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank You that You understand our frailties and human limitations. God, even our natural tendencies at times to doubt whether if any one of us, we find ourselves in difficult circumstances, whether at times we doubt whether You really care for us or mindful of us, or whether You're going to pull through and perform what You have promised through Your word. Lord, we thank You that, God, we are not alone in our struggle because You have given us Your wonderful Holy Spirit. That's why, what a beautiful name, the name of our Lord Jesus, and one of His name is our Emmanuel. Our God is with us. Hallelujah. That, Lord, in good times and in bad times, Your presence is with us. And so, Father God, we thank You for teaching us how to trust You at all times, at all times. And Father God, forgive us for even allowing the ways of the world to kind of rub on us when we wait for the birth of our miracles, God. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be patient. Help us to persevere in our praying. Help us and teach us not to say words that would contradict what You have promised. But instead, oh God, that You would use us as You touch our hearts and our lips, God. That the fruit of our lips is giving thanks unto Your holy name. The fruit of our lips is giving blessings and praises unto Your name, oh God. For we know, God, that, Lord, You are going to fulfill what You have promised, God. And Lord Jesus, we honor You because You are the faithful and true God, and that You came because You came for a purpose, and that is to deliver us from our sins, to save us from our sins. Lord, what a precious gift that the greatest miracle that can happen to anyone is our spiritual rebirth, to be born again, to be saved from our sins, to have the forgiveness of all of our sins, and to have a fresh start with you, because your word says anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. No more guilt, no more shame. Hallelujah. That you have forgiven us, and it does not end there. And you would even want us to be part of the kingdom of God. That you would use us, irrespective of our background, of our age, to be called servants of the Most High God, to be called co-laborers in Christ. Because, Lord, there's so many more who need to hear the message of Christmas, to hear the message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And so, God, we offer ourselves to you. If you want, you could raise up your hands. You could start to talk to the Lord right now before we partake our communion. When the Spirit of God is speaking to us right now and would show to us, because we are not going to take our communion lightly, because we all fail, God. But one thing that we are so thankful for is the way to the Father today is through repentance. Coming to Him and humbling ourselves before God, knowing that as we ask for forgiveness, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. If there is something in our hearts, if there is unforgiveness, if there's doubt, it all comes to us. But the Lord is here to cleanse us from all of this. So, Father God, we come before you just as we are. And what a blessing, what a privilege to come before your presence, Lord, this particular afternoon, God. To know that, God, even before we partake our communion, it is a time to celebrate your love for us. Christmas is about the love of God coming down. And so, Lord, thank you for your love for us, that you don't want us to be eternally separated from you, and that you have given us the way, and that is through your Son, Jesus. And so, Father God, we come before you just as we are, and we ask for your forgiveness. And have that moment with God as we ask him for forgiveness for any specific sins or things that probably we would want to confess before the Lord today. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that, Lord, you're here as our helper and our guide. Holy Spirit, you're the one that reveals Jesus to us continually because we want to know him more. We want to have an understanding of the sacrifice that he has done at that cross. That, Lord, the benefits, Lord God, we can still appropriate them in our times today. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for your finished work at that cross. Your blood, Lord Jesus, that we have the forgiveness of all of our sins. And so, Lord, even as we partake this communion, Holy Spirit of God, thank you for just speaking to our hearts. Thank you for the rest that we have in your presence, and to know that, God, there is this blessed state of being forgiven. And so, Lord, thank you for that, Lord God, for your mercy and grace in Jesus' name. And so we call on the ushers for the elements to be passed on. Praise God. And we're going to partake communion at the same time. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
Come and your souls will be fed.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
Drink of the blood of the Lamb.
Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Allow me to read the portion of the scriptures even before we partake the elements, because, you know, this is really a blessed moment, a blessed time, and we are not to partake communion lightly. A powerful time for us to be reminded of what Jesus has done for you and me. And so from the scriptures, it says, from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you." He thought about you and me, and it's a personal thing that Jesus did for us. And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so, in obedience to the word of God, that's why we're doing this. So in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup." Let's thank the Lord for this time. Father God, we thank you for this blessed time you've given us, a time of self-examination, God. And we know that, Lord, this time you gave to all of us so that we may allow your Holy Spirit, Lord God, to examine our hearts this afternoon. Father God, we thank you that, Lord, in your mercy and grace, you always provide a way for us to be able to approach you with confidence, even when we fail. That, Lord, through the blood of Jesus, your Son, one of the benefits of the blood of Jesus, it paves the way for us. Heaven is so wide open that we can approach you in our prayer through his blood. Not only do we have the forgiveness of all of our sins as we have confessed them to you today, but we thank you that through your blood we are made whole. One thing that our Lord Jesus, the name of his name stands, is our Jehovah Shalom. You bring wholeness, God, in our lives. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you died on that cross because you have thoughts about us, that you have called each one of us by name, and because in your name salvation lies, that any one of us would want to receive the best gift, and that is the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life. And so, Lord, you are continually giving this opportunity to many. And so, Lord, in this moment before we partake our communion, if there's anyone in this place and you have not yet made that decision to commit your life to Jesus, only Jesus, he's the only way to the Father. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the Bible says. And no one comes to the Father except by him, only through Christ alone. In him we have the forgiveness of our sins. So if you're that person, and in your heart you're burdened with guilt and shame because of what you have done in the past, or probably you did just yesterday, or just a few days or weeks ago, he's here to cleanse us, all of us, from our sins. So today, right now, let's say this prayer and mean it from our hearts. Lord Jesus, I come to you just as I am, in need of your mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord, that you have called me to be here, to hear your word, to know that you're a loving God, a forgiving God, full of mercy and ready to forgive. So I come to you and I confess to you all of my sins, God, in thoughts and in words and in deeds. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your most precious blood that cleanses me from all of my sins. And Lord, today I make that choice to follow you all the days of my life. And I receive your Holy Spirit, the power of your Holy Spirit, and the love of God to fill my heart, that you may use me as your channel of blessing to others. And so, Lord, I will take this communion, this bread, and drink this cup, remembering what you have done at that cross, Lord Jesus, for me. And I bless you, Lord, my Savior. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's partake the bread. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And this cup that represents the precious blood of our Lord Jesus, that you and I can have life eternal because he gave up his life for you and me. Jesus, we honor you that you are our Savior, our Redeemer, and our Emmanuel. We honor you today in Jesus' name as we partake the cup. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And so we're going to pray right now. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, God, that, Lord, our hearts are likened to a spiritual womb. Many of us, you have spoken so many promises from your word. And Lord, we thank you for the power of your Spirit upon us, that, God, we know that you have an appointed time for the miracles to be birthed in the lives of your people. Father God, I pray that you would stretch forth your mighty hand upon everyone in this gathering to know that we belong to you, to know that, God, you are here for us, to know that, God, you are still the God who can still perform miracles, oh God. Thank you for building up our faith, oh God. Tell that to God. Lord, thank you for building up my faith today. That, Lord, your word promises that, Lord, with you all things are possible. All things are possible with you, oh God. So, Lord, we lay before your throne of grace today all of our impossible situations, circumstances. And so, God, we know as we ask, oh God, let the power of God come upon us, oh God. Come upon all the situations, oh God. Because, Lord, our desire is that your name be exalted. Your name be glorified in the lives of your people, oh God. Like what happened to Zechariah and Elizabeth, oh God, may it happen to us too. That people will hear of, the Lord, the great things that you are doing at this moment, God. Because faith is now, we receive our miracles today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, we bless your name. Jesus, we declare that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, oh God. That we are the church of the living God. That our God is alive forevermore. Hallelujah. That, Lord, you can still work miracles, oh God. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Lord, this Christmas holiday, this year 2017, our prayer is that you not just bless us, but, Lord, to the power of your Spirit, anoint us, oh God. Fill us to the overflow with your anointing. If you need the power of God, say that to the Lord. Lord, I need the anointing. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit. Anoint me, oh God, that I will be your spokesperson, God. In whatever place, in every place that you take me, God, let me be your messenger of hope and peace, oh God. Help me, Lord God, to be a peacemaker, Lord. Hallelujah, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God. And so, Lord, we are looking forward to the days ahead as you tarry. For we believe that, Jesus, you're coming back so soon. You're coming back for a people of God, purge, refine, and Lord, that we may serve you. That is our prayer, that we may serve you without fear, in holiness and in righteousness, all through the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for touching us today, oh God, and we honor you, Lord God, because you are worthy of our praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's bless the Lord together. Amen. Let's do that right now as we call on our praise and worship, because God is worthy of our praise. Let's all rise up. Praise God. God bless you all. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God is a good God. He's good all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's honor him. Let's bless his name together. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
that song.
Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth